And within is where it's at and what's happening. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we are quick to say, such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. We recognize that as a truth because life itself is another word for God. It's another word for spirit. It's another way to understand and recognize this amazing thing in which we live and move and have our being. And if in truth, all it wants is the opportunity to appear and keep on appearing and do so with great love and joy and energy and freedom and power, then wow, that's all you got to do is say yes. Say yes to the presence of life within you. Say yes to the presence of love that you are. Say yes to the truth that good is who and what you truly bring forward into the world. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever way that you identify yourself, whatever ethnic group you belong to, whatever political party you belong to, whatever place that you feel you can identify yourself in the world, we celebrate you because we know who you truly are. Underneath and behind all of those labels, you are a spiritual being. You're an amazing individual expression of life, of God itself, coming forward and coming forth into the world, creating and creating and creating and loving and doing all of that wonder that you are. So welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you're taking time to participate with us, to listen, to perhaps come to our Zoom meeting at the end of this to have some further discussions. So as we go forward, I invite you then to know a little more about us by first listening to some words about what we believe. This is our... I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. So to know further and to share a little more about who we are, but also to share the beginning of an experience for you of knowing a greater truth and having a wonderful time in this life. I'm one of our practitioners, a spiritual mind practitioner, is someone who has studied this teaching, is licensed by our national organization to know and understand how to use these ideas for herself, as well as to provide opportunities for you to learn how to use them and to participate in knowing a greater truth for yourself. So today we have the wonderful Barbara Guillory to share with us. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, Dr. Bob, and thank you. Love being here with you, and of course, with everyone here as well. So today, I'd like to share with you an experience that I had. I've had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. I was in practitioner class on Wednesday, and I got a call while I was in the practitioner class, left our practitioner meeting and took the call. And when I came back, I shared with the group that was the senator, Georgia senator, calling to say, hey, we have a bill. And you say, well, what is that bill? Your mind always letting you know you have this to do, you have that to do. And if you see it as a problem, my teaching, my philosophy, then it becomes my problem. So the problem that I saw was that there was not enough affordable housing where people can have wonderful, healthy housing for their families. So I approached the senator to ask if she could draw up legislation that would allow for down payment assistance in order to help people become homeowners. So I was thrilled to get that call on Wednesday from the senator saying, yes, we got a bill. But beyond that, I want to share with you the greater part of this. I chose that particular idea to be in relation with because, again, it helps me in my practice. So this is how my mind works. It will go off. It will make up things. It will bring things back that could be the truth, that could not be the truth. So the quote for today, never let anything cause you to doubt your ability to demonstrate the truth. Again, never let anything cause you to doubt your ability to demonstrate the truth. And I'm going to change it just a little. Never let your mind cause you to doubt your ability to demonstrate the truth. And here's the rationale behind that. Your mind is very, very active. My mind is very, very active. And I'm always imagining. I'm creative. I like to do different things, fun things. But there has got to be boundaries around my mind. So growing up, you learn boundaries. You know that the fire is hot. You know not to go in front of the cars. These are all boundaries for our safety. But what are those boundaries for our minds? So not often a conversation, but this teaching has given me that opportunity, has given me a way, a technique, if you would, to be able to set up boundaries around my mind. And in doing so, I can know that I am safe. I can know that I am in a secure place within the boundaries. I can know there is comfort within these boundaries. So throughout the, I've been working on the legislation for about a year, but in and out, you know, going and coming along the way, your mind will have you think it's not going to work. You know, it's to this, it's to that. You're to this, you're to that. And again, it's how you are in relation with your mind. So for me, I have been able to set up a technique that says my boundaries are in spirit. And then doing that, that allows my mind peace, comfort. You know, there are times when your mind just continuously have thoughts and thoughts and thoughts and thoughts. And of course, if you're not understanding how that works, you may just go off into that space. So I want to do a treatment, if you would, and the treatment will be for boundaries in peace. So I invite you to just come together in this very moment, saying and knowing there is just the one source, there is just the one being, there is just the one universe, there is just the one magnificent. This is the magnificence of the universe. We know this magnificent. We know this source. We know it in all its glory. We know it in all its beauty. We know it in all its magnificence. We know it in all the peace that it is. We know it in all the power that it is. And in this knowing, I come to know who I am. And in my knowing of who I am, I can know that I am a co-creator with this wonderful, beautiful spirit. I am a co-creator with this wonderful, beautiful universe. And in this knowing, I can, as a co-creator, create for myself boundaries in spirit. Knowing that my boundaries are in spirit, I can experience the safety of spirit. I can experience the love of spirit. I can experience the health of spirit. I can experience the wealth of spirit. I can experience being a co-creator with spirit in and of itself. I am thankful to have this opportunity, this ability to be the co-creator of spirit, setting boundaries within spirit. Knowing that my boundaries are set in spirit, it's what gives me peace. It's what gives me joy. It is what gives me fulfillment. This is a wonderful opportunity that I have. I am grateful for. And for this very moment, I give thanks. And so it is. So the music.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest. You're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love. You're my hand, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug. You're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun. You're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter. You're my friend till the end, you're my dreams, you're my father. You're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround. I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds. You're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow. You're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow. You're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss. The gift to realize.
All that I am, all that I see, all that I've been, and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing, and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Stop to take a bow and keep moving forward and start looking towards your heart. It'll open all the doors and only then you'll start to hear the world singing chorus with your mind and heart. Aligned in purpose, everything
all
will feel gorgeous. I sit and pray, cause what I have is more than I deserve or could ever imagine. How do I give back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan. But there's a million things that I can be grateful for.
Everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and everything I hope and everything I dream, everything I feel and
that exist, the small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that everything is a gift.
Take a deep breath. That's quite a ride, isn't it? Everything I am, everything I'll be, it's a blessing to the world. Everything around me. And there's a point in there where he says, and how do we get back to this love? And that's what today's talk's all about, is how do we get back to that enthusiasm? How do we get back to that sense of embracing life and all of life? Because there's only one thing that can get in the way of that, and it's, as Barbara really said well, it's our own thinking, our own consciousness, our own minds, and what we think about what's happening in the world. So I'm inviting you today to take a little ride with me as we go through this time of thinking about forgiveness, forgive to live, forgiveness and moving forward. The subtitle, if there is one, of this talk is Three Monks and a Samurai. So here we go. Stay with me. Two monks got up one morning on their journey back towards to the monastery that they were staying in. And as they started their early morning, and they came upon a river right away. And at the river, they found a person who is standing by the river looking at it and feeling quite frustrated and quite distressed because they can't get across the river. So they asked the monk, can you help me across? Can you help me make this journey? And the older monk, without a hesitation or without a moment, said, well, of course. Scooped up the person, put them over their shoulder, and carried them across the river. Sat them down on the other side. The person was very thankful and grateful, and the two monks continued on their way. Well, the second monk, the younger one, or the less mature one, perhaps, started really being quiet and thinking in his head, going strong in the head, you know, well, we are sworn to not touching people, and we aren't supposed to be picking people up, and what in the world is going on? And I'm and ruminating about it. And as the day wore on and the quiet remained, towards the evening they arrived back at the monastery, and as before they entered, the monk said to the older one, said to the other, well, you've been very quiet all day. I'm wondering what's going on with you. And the other monk said, well, I'm just so angry. I'm so upset that you would break your vows, that you would do what you've done, that you would carry this person across the river way back there, and that you haven't seemed a bit remorseful. You've been so joyful, moving right on with your life and your day, and I just can't get over how you could possibly do that. And the monk looked at the other and smiled and said, well, you know, I put that person down by the river this morning. You're still carrying them. I've always loved that story because it's so true for how we operate and how we live. Our tendency is to get caught up in our heads and do the thoughts and the things and the stuff that carries us through and go on and on and on and, you know, replay those tapes, man. Some of us wake up in the middle of the night with them when the brain is going off and telling and recounting all the reasons why we should be angry, upset, or frustrated by somebody. And all of that stuff just carries the moment from the morning to the evening and into the next moment and into the next moment. What we know from quantum physics, and this is a really fascinating thing, from quantum physics and the quantum universe, we know that it is not a consistent, continuous thing. That the universe takes form and shape every moment, every nanosecond. It is boom, it's here, boom, it's here, boom, it's here, boom, it's here, boom, it's here. It's recreated every moment, which is why and how instantaneous healing often, you know, can work. It can work because we create something new in this next moment. Jesus said it. It's been said in all of the religions. Behold, I bring, create all things new. The newness can happen in an instant. And the oldness can too. We can drag all of that stuff along with us, all of those resentments, all of that anger, all of that hurt, all of that pain, into from the past into the present and into the future and right But we are recreating it by carrying it forward. We're the ones doing the work to keep it alive and keep it going. The real power of forgiveness is that it creates a new now. It provides that window that allows us to leave the past behind and to tap into all those other parts of us that are present all the way through. I used to carry lots of resentments. I carry far fewer now, thank goodness. But one of the things that someone said to me about some of that old resentment at one point was that, you know, you went through a lot as a kid in your young adulthood. And yeah, there were some long list of stories that I used to tell and used to think about a lot. And what this person said to me is, but you know what? You're here smiling. You're here loving. You're here at peace. You're here having a great experience. None of that stopped your life or stopped you. And there were times when it felt like it might, no question about it. But the truth is, through forgiveness and the process of forgiveness and the power of forgiveness, that old stuff just don't matter no more, as we say. Ernest Holmes says in the textbook, it's part of the purpose of our teaching is to look any discordant, troubled fact in the face and know better. We don't pretend bad things haven't happened. We don't pretend things aren't going well in the world. What we do is we look at them clearly and squarely and deeply to see beyond and behind them until we see the greater truth and the greater reality. Cool, huh? Sometimes when I read that passage, I think about when I was a kid and I'd stand up in my tallest self and face down whatever was in front of me and say, I ain't scared of you. Can't always do that. Didn't always succeed at it. And the truth is that fear, that anger, that hurt, that judgment is all in here, regardless of what happened in the world on the outside. And so I choose and have chosen and chose and chose and chose and continue to choose to leave all that behind, to not bring it and recreate it in this moment or this moment or this moment. And forgiveness is the practice. It's the human practice, the human psychological and spiritual practice that allows us to do just that, to create all things new in this moment. So how do you know you need to do forgiveness kind of work? Well, if something's nagging at you about somebody, that's a pretty clear message. You don't need a lot of insight in from me about that. But there are other times when things going on in your life may just feel stuck. I've been feeling some of that lately, and stuck in the having been through this last round of COVID, and I'm stuck at home, and I start thinking of being stuck in this and stuck in that and stuck in the other. And I have to step back and say, what is there to be forgiven here? What do I need to forgive? What do I need to let go of to release, to give forth so that living forth can activate and be alive and well in me? When things just don't seem to be flowing easily and freely for you. I know the place where I usually start with that whole thing is I need to forgive myself. Or if I find myself ruminating about the past or something that happens today reminds me of some resentment or anger or hurt or pain from the past, and it starts. You know how that goes. It's like the little gerbil wheel. It just starts to go around and around and around and around. Sometimes it won't stop if you don't take charge of it. So what I do, one of the things I do is when that gerbil wheel gets going, I substitute the ideas that are in there. And I have to, it's a hard thing to start with. You have to force yourself instead of all the things that are rehearsing in my head about what was done wrong, I start rehearsing instead words and slogans and truths that are right for me. I am loved. I am loved beyond the love I'll ever understand. I love this person, this situation, whomever. And so I start trying to change the language of that gerbil wheel. And usually the gerbil gets bored and stops, or else it opens me up to a deeper place where the gerbil wheel is just not a part of my truth or my reality. So forgiveness is a practice. It is a choice, and it's a practice. And it has everything to do with our personal healing and growth. Louise Hay has some words about that. Her great little book, You Can Heal Your Life, is a treasure that everyone should have handy. She says, love is always the answer to healing. The pathway to love is forgiveness. She has some amazing practices and meditations and things in that little book, and it's been revised and brought forward into the 21st century. And it has basic things that are so tuned into the human psyche that they work well now, just as they did 30 years ago. So we're going to be talking about some of those a little more, and we're going to talk about some of them now. I mean, where you start with this whole thing of forgiveness is saying honestly and truly to yourself what's been done, whether it's done to you or by you, not shading it with any platitudes or sweetness, but honestly saying, that person hurt me. That person caused me pain. I hurt you. I hurt myself. I made a mistake. I did something dumb. Or whatever language really brings that home to you and lets you feel it in your body as well as your mind. You start by saying what happened. Yeah. And then you move on toward begin to shift that into, you know, in your life, in my life, the only person responsible for anything that happens to us and how we respond to it or how we create it is us. That's the hard part of this teaching, and that's the part that many people don't like, and they often stick around until they get to that part, and then they go, wait a minute, you mean I'm responsible for my life? I can't blame my parents. I can't blame the devil. I can't blame anybody else. And that's a tough one because the feeling is if I created all of this, there must be something really wrong with me. And the truth is, it's just not understanding how it all works yet. So you begin by recognizing and saying to yourself, I created this. I either did it by my action or by my thoughts or my feelings or by my gerbil wheel continuing to pull up resentments and things that look like it and feel like it. Part of our brain's job is to watch for danger and warn us. And that's where all that chitter-chatter gerbil wheel stuff comes from. But there's a deeper part of you, and there's a deeper part of your brain, where when you start noticing these judgments and you recognize that these are not about them, but these are about me and yourself, and then you begin to label them as judgment or interpretations, or we make up stories. Oh man, are we good at that? You don't quite understand what's going on in something, and so you make up a story about it, and a story that corresponds with how you're feeling, which might be a story about how much you're mistreated. It might be a story that puts you fully on the victim train, or it might be a story that, and it can also be a story that sets you free. But we make up stories, we create stories. So then you begin to notice where the judgments are, where the stories are, what is going on there. And here's the kicker. Instead of making yourself wrong, give yourself a pat on the shoulder and give yourself a lot of love and compassion for creating those stories, for that brain of yours, for doing its job and protecting you and coming up with, this is what happened, this is what's wrong, you better look out. Not because you want to act on that, but you want to recognize how wonderful and powerful your whole system is that would allow you to do that judging and that judgment. And how amazing that there's a part of you that can stand outside of it and label it and look at it and recognizing it for what it is. That's really wonderful. That's really, truly good. You know, and then when you begin to do that and you begin to care about yourself and thinking, wow, I must have been hurt. There must have been some real things happening in my life that led me to be this judgmental or this critical or this hurtful or this injured or wounded or wherever that goes for you. And instead of making yourself bad for that, love yourself with compassion and ease and goodness and freedom. Again, not to repeat any of the behaviors necessarily, but to just have compassion for how you got here. How you created this for yourself. And then comes the big question, asking yourself, am I willing to see the divine perfection in this situation? If I've become a victim, am I simply participating in that great dance of victim and perpetrator, whatever degree or label, to whatever degree that may be going on? Because you can't have one without the other. You can't have a teacher without a student. You can't have a student without a teacher. You can't have all of these apparent pairs that are going on in our lives. And we end up participating in one side or another of things in order to find out what we need to know and how we need to grow. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Not because we're supposed to somehow, you know, become passive and turn the other cheek so that you can feel holier than thou for being humble. Turning the other cheek was to turn the other cheek so the person would have to smack you with their unclean hand, and you would invite them into going further with their problem, their abuse, so that not to hurt you more, but to reveal to them the degree to which they had moved out of truth, out of reality. Love your enemy. Love that part of you and those people in your life that come in and say, this is where love doesn't exist. This is where you've distorted it. This is where it's blocked in your world or in your life. Because all you got to do is recognize that and become willing then to see that this is what's being shown to you. And in that willingness, you recognize that your soul, your spiritual beingness is never hurt or harmed by any of that and does not hurt or harm anyone else. Instead, it opens the door to greater understanding, greater love, and greater truth. And here's one of the really wonderful things about forgiveness, is that when whatever is going on in your life, all of the attributes of this one power in which we live and move and have our being are present always, whether you're consciously aware of them or not. So in the midst of all of that turmoil, there is love. In the midst of all of that turmoil, there is peace. And it becomes an acceptance of the situation and a willingness to allow the divine purpose and peacefulness of whatever is happening in your life right now to permeate your thought, to draw you into a deeper and higher place of consciousness. Again, acceptance does not mean you repeat it. Forgiveness does not mean the other people won and you've lost. Forgiveness does not mean that what you did to someone or what they did to you is okay and should be repeated. Forgiveness is saying all of that doesn't stop me from being the divine, loving, caring, kind, and powerful person I am. It doesn't keep me from wanting to embrace the people in that video we just watched and dance with them and joy with them and embrace them and be part of that world of unity and oneness throughout. It's a rich and beautiful and powerful image. So I promised you three monks and a samurai. So Ram Dass tells a story in his book, How Can I Help? And it goes like this. It's a very large, burly, tough-looking samurai approached a very small, quiet, friendly priest, monk rather, not priest, but monk, and said, I want you to show me what heaven and hell is. And the monk says, well, you know, I'm not showing you anything. Look at you. You're a mess. Your sword's rusty. Your shield isn't in the right spot. Your clothes are disheveled and rough. You need a bath. You stink. You're just a horrible, awful-looking person. Why would I tell you anything? And needless to say, the samurai was enraged, and he could barely speak. In fact, he couldn't speak. He was so angry at how the monk was speaking to him and treating him that he was starting to pull his sword in order to end that monk right then and there. And the monk very quietly said, that is hell. The samurai was humbled. He was shuddered when he realized the monk had given him such a gift. He thought about the compassion and the bravery that this small man had in the face of his fierceness. And he lowered his sword, filled with gratitude and at peace. And as he did, the monk said, and that is heaven. You see, we have the power to create heaven on earth for ourselves and those around us. And we do so by stepping into that place of compassion, that place of love, that place of kindness, that place of holding one another up, that place of being the mirror for other people, and that place of deep, deep self-forgiveness and compassion. You are wonderful. So am I. And so it is. So I want to ask you to join me, if you would, in just a few moments of meditation. And I wanted to do this with a very short bit of Louise Hay's work on forgiveness. And if you feel ready to do a little forgiving, we'll start at the most important place to start, and that is forgiving ourselves. So I invite you to take a nice breath, to quietly settle into this time and this place and this moment. Breathing in, breathing out. Allowing the peacefulness of yourself, the music, the world around you to simply settle. And as you think of yourself in this quiet, if you're alone, speak it out loud. If you're not, that's okay. You speak it in your own mind, and for this is not for others to hear. And say your name. I, Bob, forgive you. I forgive you, Bob, for, and you fill in the blank, and simply repeat it. I forgive you for, or if it's easier and makes more sense to you, I forgive myself for. and simply repeat it gently and silently, and almost as a mantra, not rushed. I forgive myself for. If you find there's someone else, some name, some thought of some other person that crowds in, feel free to shift and gently, quietly, like a mantra, repeat, I forgive you, blank, for blank. And simply allow these thoughts to continue as a quiet mantra. I forgive you for. I forgive you for. I forgive myself for. You may find a lot of emotional attachments to these thoughts come up. Allow them to flow through. They won't harm you. They're just feelings. They're just energy being released, opening the door for greater love for yourself and for others. Deeper appreciation for who and what you are and all of the paths you've traveled to this moment. It is a rich and wonderful thing to be a human being, because it is a spiritual being that is what we really are. And so with ease and grace and simplicity, I allow myself to feel the gratitude of participating, the gratitude of life, the gratitude of being a part of this wonderful time here together. And in this gratitude, I release it. I let it be so, and so it is. It's recommended that you spend at least 5 to 10 minutes doing that. And that you perhaps repeat it once a week or so, or until it feels clean and clear. Thank you for being with us. Now let's hear from the wonderful Vance.
Thanks, Dr. Bob, for that awesome talk this morning. I know I am greatly inspired with every message that you give. And in that knowingness, I know that we are in a great spiritual community, and this is our time to give thanks, to give back. We have the opportunity to give back to where we're spiritual.
So it seems there's some technical difficulty here in our recording and in our playback. Until that's straightened out, I will simply add the truth of that to what he was saying, and that is we are dependent upon the generosity of all of you as you participate with us. If you find value in what we are doing and value in this time together, then I invite you to reflect that back by sharing the value with us. You can contribute by going to our website, cslmidtown.org. You can also share by sending checks to the address that you'll find there. So we join together in our affirmation of prosperity, which goes like this. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And there's the information about contributions. So we do have announcements. The announcements, I will just speak them because we are running close on time. And that is to tell you that on Tuesdays, we have this wonderful time together called Spiritual Empowerment or Personal Empowerment. It's an opportunity to come together to talk about whatever may be up for you, to talk about whatever concerns you may have about life or the world. And then together we do an affirmative treatment or affirmative prayer that brings peace of mind and an open heart to all of us. We will be here next week. Reverend Jackie will be speaking. Reverend Jackie Doherty. So she will, or Doherty, she'll do that. And I will be taking a Sunday break. I look forward to hearing about her and about the work with you. So let's close with this affirmation of truth. Okay, we're not going to have the affirmation of truth today. There it is. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next time.